Hello, and welcome to the third episode in this BESA mini-series helping educational suppliers best prepare for a no-deal Brexit. In this episode, we're focusing on how the movement of services will be affected by a no-deal. The UK services sector is often described as a great British success story. It accounts for nearly 80% of the UK's GDP. The value of British exports of goods and services reached £1.9 billion this year, and growth in the education services sector is now bigger than in other major industries, including insurance. It's clear that the educational market is going to play a vital role in the post-Brexit economy. According to the formal definition provided in international law, educational services include all trade where education and training services are provided across borders on a contract or for a fee. To give you a couple of concrete examples, this includes online assessment and e-learning platforms, school information management systems, and continued professional training services provided by UK educational suppliers abroad. It also relates to any training service that an educational supplier provides as part of the delivery, maintenance, or installation of a good or service. Under EU law, the freedom to provide services also includes the right of free travel, to provide and receive services, as well as the right to provide services across borders digitally. EU law gives UK services firms, educational suppliers included, preferential access rights and protections in other EU member states. This makes it easier for businesses to establish themselves abroad and to provide cross-border services. It saves firms having to create a subsidiary registered in a national law of a target EU market or work with a European agent in order to sell their services abroad. By participating in the free movement of services, UK firms are also protected by the rules of the single market, EU competition law, and EU state aid rules. The single market prevents governments from adopting measures such as taxes, levies, or import quotas that would directly or indirectly discriminate against UK educational suppliers. EU competition law acts on the level of business-to-business engagements. Its objective is to prevent cartels of groups of foreign educational suppliers clubbing together to block market access to UK competitors. And state aid rules prevent governments from giving an unfair advantage to their country's national suppliers by granting them tax breaks, subsidies, or grants that they would not provide to UK educational suppliers. The EU also has free trade agreements with over 88 other nations, which keeps many markets around the world open to UK service providers. After a no-deal Brexit, access to these markets will stop, with over 88 other nations, which keeps many markets around the world open to UK service providers. After a no-deal Brexit, access to these markets will stop. Luckily, this loss is less relevant to educational suppliers, because although the agreements liberalise access to many sectors such as telecom, transportation and legal services, they rarely apply to education. The Department for Education and the Department for International Trade are conducting a joint initiative to consider preferential trade terms for educational suppliers, and in particular edtech companies, that the UK will seek to negotiate in free trade agreements with third-party countries. They have asked for BESA's input on what to prioritise in future free trade negotiations. You can find out what our 10 recommendations are for the Department for International Trade by listening to the sixth and final episode in this series. Now, how will the movement of trade and services be affected by a no-deal departure from the EU? Well, in the event of a no-deal, educational suppliers who trade in services will be governed by the World Trade Organization's General Agreement on Trade and Services, GATS for short. Under GATS, the average tariff on services are 40%, which could have a huge impact on future international trade for educational suppliers. Before we look at how education fits within these tariffs, we need to look at the structure of GATS and the components which govern its operation. GATS consists of three components. The first is a framework of rules that lay out the general obligations governing trade and services. These are general principles that apply to all sectors, whether it's telecom or education. Then we have annexes on specific service sectors. And then the final component, which consists of schedules detailing the liberalization commitments of each WTO member. GATS is a combination of top-down and bottom-up approaches. There are a number of top-down general principles that apply to all sectors, but beyond this, individual countries are free to choose the degree to which they liberalize access to industries such as education, and they can decide the tariffs they set on foreign suppliers. Looking at GATS's general principles is less useful to us, however, than examining the individual liberalization commitments that countries have pledged to make. An important piece of terminology we need to understand before looking at each of these liberalization schedules is the mode of trade. Four modes of trade are identified by GATS. The first is the most relevant to educational suppliers. Mode 1 is cross-border supply, for instance, services through international mail, the internet, and e-learning, as well as teleconference facilities. Mode 2 is consumption abroad, for example, students studying abroad. Mode 3 is commercial presence, such as foreign direct investment in the form of setting up branches in the territory of another member state. And mode 4 is the presence of natural persons. That's the temporary entry of workers into the territory of another member state. Under GATS, there are five categories of education service that can be subject to trade liberalization measures. Only three of them are relevant to BISA members. They are access to the primary, secondary, and adult education markets. Unfortunately for us, relatively few WTO members have made trade liberalization commitments in the education sector. Of the 163 WTO members, only 44 have made commitments to liberalize market access for education services. This makes it crucial that educational suppliers work with the government to ensure that preferential trade terms for the sector are included in free trade agreements. You can check each country's education commitments online under the World Trade Organization's rules. For now, here's a quick overview. Of the 44 countries that have made a commitment in educational services, 30 have made commitments in primary education services. Of these 30 commitments, 15 provide tariff-free access for Mode 1 forms of trade and services, such as services provided through e-learning, through telecommunications, or in the mail. In secondary education, there are 35 country commitments. Most importantly for educational suppliers, over 60% of the commitments provide tariff-free market access for Mode 1 cross-border trade in supply of services, such as e-learning and education training provided through telecommunications. As with primary education, most of these commitments are restricted to allowing market access to private secondary schools. Adult education has 32 country commitments. Less of these commitments distinguish between public and private sectors, though six countries still limit the application of their liberalization commitments to privately funded adult education. The majority of countries that are committed to the trade liberalization of education services are either European or Southeast Asian. Given that major markets such as the UAE and the US have not liberalized trade in education services, it might be worth considering a short-term pivot to Asian and European markets. BISA provides its members with a wide-ranging program of events throughout the year, covering both the UK and overseas, with Southeast Asian markets likely to offer the most liberalized market access terms to the UK's educational suppliers after Brexit. Your business may wish to attend a number of trade exhibitions BISA is organising in the region. These include LNT Hong Kong 11th to the 13th of December 2019, BET Asia from the 4th to 5th of March 2020, and BET Vietnam from the 27th to the 28th of March 2020. For more information as to any of these events, please contact BISA's Deputy Head of Events, Yasmin Barnett, at yasmin@bisa.org.uk. The next episode in this series looks at how the movement of data will be affected by a no-deal Brexit. Do have a listen if it's relevant to your business. Thanks a lot for listening.